Welcome back for part two of our panel discussion. We're excited to have Darren here with us to discuss how The Avengers has affected comic book movie culture.
The Dark Knight trilogy nailed it, and I think that's what started this new renaissance and people get interested. But to go on now, segue into The Avengers, I think The Avengers finalized it. So anyway, I'll let you go, Devin. But
well, no, how do you think it finalized it?
I think because we were, were we saying this before we recorded or during? I think it was before we recorded, that the movies preceding The Avengers were not well received except for Iron Man. Iron Man 2 did well, but it wasn't...
It's the least popular.
It wasn't good.
Yeah. I really love Iron Man 2, but see, for me, though, the Iron Man movies are my least favorite.
Casey just died inside.
I know. But it was just fun to see how everything kind of came together with the Avengers Initiative and Nick Fury, and even though Black Widow was lame, she was great in The Avengers. So... those movies didn't really start anything. They were just kind of there. You know, they were successful, except for maybe The Incredible Hulk. But it's not like they really, you know, changed the comic book landscape.
Broke any new ground or anything.
But The Avengers, that finalized people wanting to get into comic books or accepting more of comic books or just even loving the characters and wanting to buy the T-shirts or have some type of memorabilia is because... you have many different characters to choose from. It's not just Iron Man, or it's not just Batman. You have Captain America, who some people resonate more than others. Or you have Thor. Or, I mean, The Incredible Hulk, which was done so well. Or then just Iron Man, which everyone finds witty and funny.
But well,
I was going to say, but bringing all this team together, which... now gets people more interested in the movies previously, because I think the Avengers movie does make those movies better. I enjoy those movies more now than I did before the Avengers came out.
Because you see all what they led up to.
Oh, exactly. And you see all the snippets and where it's going and the little teasers. And so not only that you have more characters to choose from to love and really associate yourself with, but it was just so funny but action-packed, but also moving, because like when Agent Coulson died, everyone was touched. Or when everyone has their character moment of Thor talking about how he feels like he's the reason that Earth is now being attacked. Or Captain America, you know, really struggling being out of time. Or Iron Man sacrificing himself, you know, when he was just such an arrogant doofus, you know what I mean? And or even Hulk, who thinks he's this monster, and he ends up saving Iron Man, but also being a hero, not just a tragic character.
Yeah,
exactly. And being the catalyst to really... give the people confidence that we can save the day. So there's so many different things going on there that I think it resonated on a fun level. Because the Dark Knight trilogy is great, but it's a little darker, and it's
not one like Friday night I feel like being entertained. But Dark Knight, you know.
Exactly.
You gotta prepare yourself for that movie.
Exactly. But the Avengers was so fun, but also was resonating that it makes you more curious to find out who are these guys, where did they come from, and how can I get to know more about them? If that makes sense.
Yeah. No, it does.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I think also as well what the Avengers did was, I think what showed audiences, especially the casual moviegoer, how big of a universe comic books really have.
Because,
you
know,
it isn't just one character. What made the Avengers so awesome was the fact that you had a certain comic book character interact with another comic book character and realize the whole world that how they all interconnect. And I think that's what made it so great as well. And so, because just like Star Wars or just like Lord of the Rings, you know, these other movies that create these, or even, you know, a lot of people with Avatar, we create this whole other world. What you did with what the Avengers did with comic books was it showed the mass going audience that just like those great movies, you have a whole other universe with characters and, you know, this whole culture and whatnot that was just revealed to them. It isn't just a standalone person, you know, like Daredevil or anything like that. It's this expansive. And that's what I think. So it just showed how big it is. And I mean, and that's what makes those movies successful. You watch MCU, you watch Star Wars, you watch Lord of the Rings. Part of what's so great is you have this whole world, not just a character, but a whole world that you can escape to. And the Avengers hit home for me on that level. Just, you can escape to such a massive, this whole society, but this whole group of people. And I think as well, that's what kind of made it so successful, was by bringing all these similar characters. I mean, you look at Thor's world and you look at Thanos, you know, that whole thing, and just realize how expansive it is. So for me, I think that was also a big selling point.
Yeah, I look back to the original Iron Man. You know, it was a great movie. Everyone enjoyed it. But when you're sitting there in the credits and all of a sudden there pops up a scene and Samuel L. Jackson is standing there and starts talking about the Avengers Initiative.
Yeah.
You know, that at that point you realize there's something bigger going on.
Are you you think you're the only superhero, whatever it is?
Exactly.
Samuel L. Jackson's voice.
I peed my pants when that happened. I was so excited.
You know, and you know, they all carried the same buttons and stuff at the end of the films. But that one really kicked it off and really set the tone for what was coming. You knew there was going to be more to it. You knew that it was working toward a specific goal of having the Avengers, even though at the time you didn't know how you were going to get there. And like Devin said, it built this giant universe. So where The Dark Knight Rises was very much an intimate story, regardless of the scope of the movie, it was a very intimate story. This is designed and made to be a more of an inclusive universe for people to play around in.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you look at what George Lucas has done, again, to go back to Star Wars. I mean, the fact that you have the prequels, you have the original, you have the Clone Wars, you have the video games, all that add into the same universe.
And the books and the comic books.
Yeah. And that's what Marvel's done now, is basically they have the comics. So we're, instead of starting the movies and branching out, now you have the comic books. As I said, by watching the movies, that's what made you, as a little kid, you know, I wanted to read the Star Wars comic books and the Star Wars books and all that stuff, because I wanted to explore more of this universe. And with the Avengers, with what the movie's done, to see this universe now, people want to explore the universe, and the comic books are the outlet to do that.
Well, and people, now that they're doing the second phase and people recognize that they're going to explore more in the movies, Thor's World of the Other Realms, you know, Winter Soldier,
so excited about,
you know, Bucky Barnes. I mean, I'm guessing it's going to be Bucky Barnes being Winter Soldier. If not, then I will cry inside. you know, and then you have, I mean, the potential for, I mean, if they do a World War Hulk, or not World War, but Planet Hulk movie, can you imagine? Like, there's just, when people recognize that it's even going to expand even more, their curiosity even immensely peaks into really discovering, where did they come up with these concepts in the story? You know, where did Loki come up with this cosmic cube, and you know, who's that purple guy, the Thanos, and it just wants you to...
Sorry to listeners that I pronounced his name wrong, so...
Well, Thanos?
Anyway, continue.
What did you say? How did you say it?
I said Thanos.
Thanos, potato.
Potato.
So, I pronounce stuff wrong all the time. So, you have all this possibility of what you can explore, and especially now with the digital apps that people can just get an iPad or a tablet and download, I think that really helps as well.
Yeah.
I think you guys bring up good points of just how it's so big and expansive that how can your curiosity not be piqued?
Yeah,
it's true. But I think at the same time, with the Dark Knight trilogy, it's a very self-contained story, whereas with the Avengers being this massive universe and all the stories and all the characters now interacting and dealing with one another. For example, in Iron Man 2, there was so much gearing up for the Avengers, it hurt the actual standalone story of Iron Man 2.
It was distracting almost.
Exactly.
That's a good
point.
So,
as the universe gets bigger, they're going to have to attempt to find that balance where each of the stories can be self-contained, to where if you're bringing in someone who is not, you know, a diehard comic book fan or has seen all of the movies, they're still going to be able to keep up, but still keep everyone else happy by being able to play off all these other stories.
Yeah,
I think it's a good point. But I think what the nice thing though is, because before they had to do that to make it show there's a bigger universe for the Avengers, but now that it's been established, I think now they might have certain hints and whatnot. But I think now that's, since the playing field has been leveled out, I hope they will kind of have more of the self-contained aspects. You know, might have a character pop in and out or whatnot, but hopefully they will have the most.
But wouldn't that be fun, though? Wouldn't that be fun to have, you know, this bromance that happened with Bruce Banner and Tony Stark, to have, you know, Bruce Banner come in for just a scene or two in Iron Man 3? Wouldn't you love that? Or to have, I don't know, Black Widow or Hawkeye in Captain America 2, since it is going to be more involved with S.H.I.E.L.D. Like, to me, the possibility of that is cool. And I think it would continue to get people excited to see them interact and then want to see, you know, maybe read Avengers Team-Up book, because they love seeing on the screen. It's like, I want to see this. I want to read about this.
Well, yeah, and they've got to, because at this point, you just stuck, what, six of the biggest superheroes in one movie together? Is one superhero going to be enough for anyone at this point?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Yeah. And, not again, I mean, the bar's been set so high, you kind of have to keep that going. So, but I think the way to do that, though, is by expanding the universe more and more. So, so who knows? It'll be interesting to see how far they can carry this out. But, well, I think that, I think that kind of seems like our discussions, though, is going towards our next part of the discussion, because it seems like we keep on talking about the comic books and different things like that. You know, I guess the question as well is, what impact has these movies had? Because I know all of us have kind of touched upon this. What impact has these movies had on the comic book sales? And for people who usually don't read comic books, what has now caused them to actually want to pick up comic books? You know, the Dark Knight trilogy, as well as the Avengers movie.
I think what happened is these movies are very true to the comic books.
Well, I'd say the Avengers is the Dark Knight trilogy. I wouldn't say is very true to the comic book.
True to the spirit of the comic.
Oh, yeah.
But not necessarily the exact details.
But yeah. Even then, where did they get the inspiration for Batman Begins? Was Batman Year One? What inspiration did they get for the Dark Knight? Was the Long Halloween and the Killing Joke?
Yeah.
And what inspiration was for the
Dark Knight Rises?
No Man's Land was, you know, Nightfall was, you know, the Vengeance of Bane. Bane Legacy, Bane Returns,
Dark Knight Returns,
so when
Nightfall.
When you recognize and you hear that these movies are inspired from actual stories that are written, then it makes you want to go get those stories. I mean, Devin, why did you and I get into comic books initially? Why did we want to buy some Batman comics? Because we found out that Long Halloween and the Killing Joke inspired the Dark Knight.
Yeah, well, that's what I was going to say was, even though the Dark Knight trilogy wasn't true to the character or the comics of Batman, you said the source material is so great. When I read the source material, you could see how they tied in with the movies, and that's what made it so amazing. Because instead of tied to the source material, but it tied to awesome source material. I mean, so the first comic book I ever read was The Long Halloween, and that sold me on Batman. I thought that story. I just read it again last week. Right now, I'm reading The Dark Victory. I mean, just such incredible storylines. As I said, Batman Year One was awesome. The Killing Joke, The Man Who Laughed, even Nightfall. You know, I'm not a big fan. You know, the '90s comic era is a little funny. You know, but Nightfall is still
so
great.
Bad.
Yeah, but I mean, The Dark Knight Returns is probably my favorite comic of all time.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, that's another one that heavily inspired The Dark Knight Rises. So even though they're not necessarily quote unquote true, because it is more based in reality, like Casey was saying, they encompass the spirit of Batman. They encompass what makes Batman great, and they pay homage to Batman, though. It's not like, I don't know, like with the original Spider-Man movies. Spider-Man has organic web shooters. Like, why couldn't he just showed off his geeky scientific side and made his own like he did in the comic books?
Yeah.
You know? Well, I think it's the big thing, but I think where the Avengers succeeded, I keep on jumping around like over the place here, but you just kind of bring that up. I mean, I think that's what makes the Avengers so great as well, is because before, when you would watch these movies and read the comic books, you're like, wait a minute, they're so different. There's no continuity with them, like with X-Men. But the fact that when you watch the movie and then read the comic book, it all makes sense, all relates to each other. So then it makes you more excited because you recognize things from the movies, you know? And so the comics just build off and strengthen the movie instead of them fighting each other. Like, because a lot of people who read comics second, you know, if it's not familiar to the movie, then they throw the comic
away. Yeah, exactly. They won't read it. I feel like some of the old movies would kind of defecate on the comic books. Like, this part's stupid. We'll just throw it out. Like, no, that's what makes them great. That's why they've been so successful, and that's why the characters are so loved, because of this aspect. Don't get rid of it, and then you always get so frustrated, even as someone who wasn't reading comic books at the time, which would be like, you could tell that it was not how it was supposed to be, that the movies changed something important, and it showed, and it was lacking.
Well, yeah, then because they're like, oh, well, the general population doesn't want this. The fanboys are so small, and that, you know, it doesn't matter to them. But no, I mean, even if you aren't familiar with the comics, you're still familiar enough with the characters. You know, as a kid growing up watching the Spider-Man TV show, you know, then watching the movies, you're like, wait a minute, that's not how it's supposed to be. And so it's just nags the back of your head the whole time.
Well, and how many times do you watch a movie based off a book that you read and you get so frustrated because a great part of the book that you love was totally changed in the movie?
Absolutely.
Jurassic Park, anybody?
Yeah.
And Harry Potter.
So it's the same thing with the comic book movies. I think, and that's what I love about the Avenger movies and the Dark Knight trilogy, is that I don't feel like that they drastically change things, that they stay true to the characters in the comics and the aspects that are why they're popular. Talking about the comic books, and then I think it helped the movies. And I think that's also why you see people really embracing the movies, because, I mean, as I said, if you don't read the comic books, you're not going to know that there's something different, but it just feels off and forced when it is changed. And there's just something in the back of your mind that lets you know that there's something that will happen that's not how it should have happened. You know what I mean? I just think you can sense that.
Oh, yeah. Well, I look at Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody hates Green Lantern. I probably don't hate it as much as...
I actually really like Green Lantern. I'm one of the few. The extended cut, by the way, is better than the original.
Is it?
Yeah, they only add like 8 minutes of when they're kids, but it just helped with character development. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
But yeah, I mean, I can't say I love it, but it's not as bad as everyone makes it out to be. But because of that, I've started reading the Green Lantern comics. I picked up at Rebirth, and I'm working my way to Blackest Night.
Oh, they're so good.
They are.
Oh, Blackest Night is awesome.
Have you read Sinestro Corps War?
I have. I just finished it.
Oh, my gosh. That's what made me love Green Lantern, was the Sinestro Corps War. And it just gets better. And right now, the Green Lantern comic is great. I love Green Lantern.
I might have to start picking that up.
You should right now. Third Army crossover. You should definitely start. I would get that and then the Green Lantern Corps crossover for the Third Army. So get the Annual Zero issue and then just go from there and you'll be happy. Anyway, sorry.
But yeah, it's just a perfect example of how a movie, it doesn't feel right. But they didn't get it. They didn't nail it. But it can spark. It can inspire people to pick up the comics. And if you can do that, if you get enough people to do that, well then maybe the next Green Lantern won't be quite so unloved.
Yeah.
And as for examples, I feel like Green Lantern was what Marvel movies did back in the 90s.
Yes.
They use that same formula by, and that's the problem too. Said Jeff Johns, I think, was a creative over it, but then the writers came in like, we're going to change this and this and this, and then it bombed.
Exactly.
Well, so Jeff Johns had, like, he really wanted Hannibal Lecter, what am I trying to say here? Hector Hammond, not Hannibal Lecter. He wanted Hector Hammond.
That would have been a cool movie.
Yeah, right? So he wanted Hector Hammond to be in the movie, which I felt like was totally unnecessary because, not to sound gross and perverted, but he looks like a giant male gonad. You know what I mean? Like his head.
Yeah, and he serves no real purpose.
No, he really doesn't. So
not at all. None.
You should have just focused on Parallax, or you could have focused on Sinestro, because Sinestro is one of the best villains in all of comic books.
Oh, yeah. He's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. So they could have really done that. But so I do think Jeff Johns has something to blame. But the writers definitely, Warner Brothers came in and just said, like, oh, whatever. We'll do our own thing. And we'll write the oath wrong. And look, why did they get Blake Lively? Because of sex appeal. Why did they get Ryan Reynolds, who I felt like was a good choice? I thought he was a good Hal Jordan. But he was picked because also sex appeal.
He's bankable, yeah.
Yeah, and so it was very different from how Marvel did their movies with the Avengers and how the Dark Knight trilogy happened, where you're choosing actors and actresses who really fit the part, not because of how they look. And there's another, like Devin was saying, there's another example of Marvel movies, and even the DC movies, you know, in the early 2000s and up until we saw these new phenomenons.
Well, yeah, and like Marvel, when they took over, when they started their own studio, it was their show. They were running it. They made the calls. And even once Disney bought them, Disney just kind of stayed out of the way.
Smart move.
Exactly. You know, with Warner Brothers, it's the exact opposite. They keep, you know, with the Dark Knight trilogy, Christopher Nolan kind of came in and said, look, this is what it's going to be. Take it or leave it.
Uh-huh.
And they just kind of let him have his control.
Just when he made him billions of dollars.
Well, exactly. Even after the Dark Knight, they came in and said, look, we want Leonardo DiCaprio. We want the Riddler. That's what you're going to do. And he's like, no.
But,
so
yeah.
Thank goodness that he has guts and he says, you know, the heck with you, Warner Brothers. I'm going to do my own thing because it was a better movie. But yeah, they're just so involved and they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, it's kind of cliche, but if you build it, they will come. If you make a good story, you will have people come and it will make you money. If you just throw out whatever trash you think is the people want to see, it's just not going to play like it should.
Well, exactly. And that's the thing is, if you look at the comics, I mean, comics have incredible stories. You know, Marvel Civil War is awesome. DC Identity Crisis at Blackest Night on Halloween.
Tower of Babel.
Tower of Babel. I mean, they're all just these phenomenal stories, and that are much more than just, you know, come, pow, you know, all this different stuff.
But they relate to you on an emotional level.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if people use the source material, there's such great source material to draw from. And by staying true to that, that's what's made – that is the key of the formula that's made it successful, in my opinion.
Yes.
And as long as these movie studios realize that and keep working with that formula – because even like Man of Steel, I know it's going to be more grounded, but you can tell that Goyer and Nolan looked at the source material. And if that – if it worked for Batman, I hope it's going to work for Man of Steel. But so far, I mean – I think it's going to be a great story.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, you pick up Zack Snyder, who, you know, like his movies, hate his movies. Watchmen was almost shot for shot exactly like the comic book.
Oh, yeah. And the visuals were incredible.
Yeah.
Absolutely incredible. So and that's the thing is, I think by sticking to that formula, you know, I think it'll be successful. And I think, I think you'll put forth good movies that will make people want to read comics. And I imagine, you know, I'm going to guess on this. But I'm going to imagine that when Man of Steel comes out, I hope we'll see a resurgence of Superman and excitement towards picking up Superman comics as we did see with Batman and with the Avengers.
Yep, I think you will, because I do think it'll be a successful movie. And I think DC's doing the smart approach of counteracting Marvel's more fun tone to a more serious tone. Not gritty necessarily, but serious. And that Green Lantern should have done that. Green Lantern should have done more of the Batman route. And you're seeing with the TV show Arrow. Arrow, I've really liked the first two episodes, and it is more grounded, it is more darker and serious, and I think it works for DC Comics because their characters can allow that to happen. Where Marvels, they have some. I mean, they have their Punisher and Daredevil and whatnot, but for their main characters, they're more light, you know? And I think DC can take the approach, and they should, because it is a nice contrast with what Marvel's doing, and it works, and it makes the DC characters and movies stand out if they do it that way.
No, exactly. And I think, again, that I'll be able to create that distinction. So it'll be, I hope that they do that with the Justice League again, not making it more, you know, not, you have to make it fun like the Avengers, you have to make it real, like, or grounded like Man of Steel or the Dark Knight trilogy, but the Justice League has so many great stories to draw from. That I hope that they do that with well, because you can't. I mean, the Avengers was really fun; it was awesome. But even with different characters, I still think you can draw a lot of great story from them as well, especially with the characters in the Justice League, because each of them have their own demons, their own weaknesses, their own little problems that they try to deal with. And by drawing those out, I think you can create.
Well, I think Tower of Babel would be a great story to draw from. You introduce the characters, you introduce their strengths and weaknesses, and it is a good reason to bring the team together.
Yeah, and you don't have to have like a giant space aliens come down and attack them, or like Darkseid or something.
Yeah, because then Avengers. it's a knockoff of the Avengers.
Exactly. Give them a realistic foe, someone who could play that role, but still maintain the same feel, and you'd be in great shape.
Yeah, totally.
Have you read Tower of Babel, Casey?
I have.
Okay, yeah, it's... Again, like, make Batman the jerk of it all, because that's who he is, you know? He is the jerk of the Justice League, so.
And he's the most well-known.
Yeah.
The movie universe.
Finishing The Dark Knight Rises, I mean, you've got to bring him back, and you've got to bring him back in a good way to try and compete with that. So,
Make
him front and center is not a bad idea either.
As the bad guy. Not really be bad, but he could be in the beginning, and then you obviously figure out what's going on, but...
You know, he's not trusted or anything like that, so I mean, I think there's so much potential with that. So I just really hope the DC, by what they do with Man of Steel, what they do with Nolan, that they realize, okay, this is the formula, let's stick with it, and let's get going. Not make it Avengers wannabe.
Yeah. So I think just to close, you know, the movies that have come out this summer that made them so great and successful are, you know, just to touch the points that we mentioned, is they stay true to the spirit and the stories of the comic books, which then makes you want to read the comic books, or makes you appreciate the comic books even more, because people recognize that these stories aren't just you know, a guy in tights is a villain going out and getting punched by another guy in tights with a cape and who has his underwear on his outside. You know, that they're actually sophisticated, they're serious, they're mature, and they're intelligent. And I think, as well as what we're talking about, the Dark Knight trilogy, is that they were art forms, and then the Marvel Avengers was just how they all came together, how they showed just this amazing teamwork and just expanded this huge universe that just automatically piques your curiosity and interest in who they are. But that to me is just kind of a summary of what we just said, and as well as what made them great and what makes them different from the movies previous before that. Is, you know, it wasn't like Fantastic Four, they just got some sexy girl and you know, our Daredevil, we got two sexy actors, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Garner, to just basically sell tickets. And they relied more on that than they did on the story and characters. And you're starting to see now the shift towards really paying tribute to the comic books and what makes them great. So that to me is, anyway, my closing thoughts.
No, I think that basically is on the head. So, and you look at even the ones of the past with, you know, Superman, Christopher Reeves, by basically, you know, it was a great holding true to the spirit of Superman as it made it so successful so many years later. And I think you kind of lost your way in between that and this. So,
well, you can tell with Superman is that they were paying true tribute, and everyone was paying tribute to the Superman comics and characters. Where even Batman, I mean, I like them, but it was just all the movies after that were made just to make a quick buck, I feel like. Even Spider-Man and X-Men, there's just, oh, here's another franchise we can slap out there and get money. Where the current movies now and then Superman, those were made as tribute to what made the characters great.
Yeah.
And that's a good point.
But anyway, I cut Casey off, so I apologize for that. But
Just one point I wanted to bring up in closing. One of the best things that happened to superhero movies, in my opinion, is Batman and Robin.
That
sounds horrible because the movie was awful, and it pretty much killed the superhero genre for quite a long time.
It is bad. Brayden made me watch it for a podcast, and we eviscerate that thing, but it was cruel.
Oh, lucky you.
As a Batman fan, it was like a kick to the groin on multiple levels and multiple times.
Oh, there's so many great one-liners.
Oh, yeah.
That's all it is one-liners. There is no story. Just one-liner and pun after the other. It's so bad. Yeah.
If you go to YouTube, there's a whole, like, 10-minute section of nothing but all the ice references by Mr. Freeze.
There's only 10 minutes? I thought there'd be longer.
Like, when you put them back-to-back, it feels a lot longer.
Any line that Schwarzenegger says is an ice pun.
Pretty much. Jeez. But that, anyway, you know, that pretty much killed, you know, comic book movies, period. You know, studios weren't willing to risk that much money on something that was so awful that nobody wanted to see. But because of that, I think several other comic books, you know, lesser known non-superhero comic books, things like 300, things like A History of Violence, that nobody had any idea were comic books.
Or like Watchmen, you know.
Or like Watchmen that didn't come around till afterwards. That people didn't know were comics. That once I found out, I had to go read them, and because these were successful movies, because they were powerful movies, it kind of reinvigorated. Okay, comic books can be done if they're done right, and then you get things like Batman Begins, like Iron Man. So I think without things, you know, for lack of better terms, falling so low, there would have never been an opportunity for things to come back so powerfully.
The next superhero movie that came out, I think, was X-Men, and you saw a different tone. I mean, X-Men was more serious and not campy at all, you know, than the, you know, Batman and Robin.
Oh, especially the second one.
Yeah. So I think that's a very good point.
So basically what happened was you just had to kill Batman and Robin, and then you had these awesome independent comics that would be able to be made that no one knew about, so... And then you can finally rise from the ashes, you know, this new genre of comic book movies.
That's right.
So, I think that's great. I can't unless there's any other thoughts we have. I think that's it for this podcast. So, I want you to lead us out, Casey.
We'd like to thank you all for joining us this week. We'd especially like to thank Darren.
It was my pleasure. I loved it.
We are always happy to have you, and you're always welcome back anytime.
Well, thank you.
For those of you out there, we will see you next week. We hope you enjoyed it, and until we do, happy watching.
Between the Reels is produced under Creative Commons license. Our bumper music is provided by Kevin MacLeod. We'll see you next week.